We're going to look at John chapter 4 today, and your notes for the outline of the sermon are actually in the newsletter on page 10. While you're turning to John 4, let me set up the message with this thought. God's called you to make a difference in this world. He's got a purpose for your life, and that purpose is going to be a combination of things that are going to take you years and years to accomplish. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life is going to be about a work that takes years and years, maybe even a lifetime, to find that victory in your life. Not everything that God does happens overnight in our life. And at the same time, part of what God has planned for you is to make a difference this very day and this very week. There are things you do not have to wait to be about to happen in your life. There are things that God wants to do that are some of the greatest accomplishments and victories of your life. You don't need to think one day way down in my life it's going to happen. It's like, no, it could happen this week. And the message this morning from John chapter 4 about Jesus meeting the woman at the well is a story about what can happen in your life and mine this very week. And so I'm going to invite you. We're going to read a number of verses right now. And as we read them, I want to encourage you to try to put yourself in the place of two very different people coming together and Jesus making room in a moment where really all he's doing is shopping. He and the disciples, they're shopping for food. That's all they're doing. And it's the heat of the day. And in the middle of that, Jesus senses that God wants to reach out and for this woman to know the Father's love. And I want you to think about what must have been hard about it and what Jesus did that opened her heart to something that changed her eternity and really ended up changing the eternity of a community. So read with me as we start in John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his sons. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about noon, the hottest hour of the day. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking with the woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that we would know what it is to worship God in spirit and truth. We ask that we would know what it is to not just think of ourselves and not just see our days as random and meaningless until we get to church or till we get to our house, but Lord, in the jobs we have, in the places we go shopping, in the places we do business, in the places where people gather together, help us to look up and see the harvest. That we do not have to wait years and years to change a life or to do something that makes a difference in this world. But Lord, we could just lift up our eyes and have the joy and Father, the amazement of being used by you and seeing a life change just like you've changed ours. Lord, I pray that during this season of making room, as we open up services for more to come, my prayer is that every person who calls Cornerstone home would have the joy of leading someone else to you. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. This story begins by Jesus saying, "I'm tired of being around people who all they do is compare themselves with everybody else." This story starts out that Jesus is leaving a group of people who are like, "Well, who has more disciples? Who has the bigger church? Whose worship is better? Whose church has more church people who always go to church?" Jesus is done with that. He doesn't find any life in people who are comparing themselves to one another. And he leaves it. He leaves Jerusalem, which is where the temple is, which is literally where God's house is. And the story says that he is leaving God's house and he's going back to Galilee, which is his house, and probably more technically Peter's house. And in between going from God's house to his house, which is over a 60-mile journey, he has to stop in this place called Sychar. It's the Samaritan village. And in this place, They're not really open to Jewish people. They've had a long history of war and of hurting each other and of hatred and prejudice towards each other. So the disciples and Jesus, they're going to this place that isn't very friendly to God's people. And really, as we see with the disciples just think, well, we're stopping here because we need to get some shopping done. We've got to go to Walmart, or we got to show up at Martin's, or we got to go to Target, or whether we're going to Kroger's, or wherever we're heading out, whether we're going to school or work, or that place I need to do business for my car, for my cable bill, whatever it is. You know, Jesus, this is just a place we need to stop for a few minutes, because what's really important is your house and our house. And this time in between where we've got to get a little shopping done, that's not a place where we make room. That's not a place where we hear your voice. That's just a place we need to get our stuff, make sure we're fed, and go on. But Jesus sees this situation so different. Between God's house and his house, he sees a harvest field. He sees a place of great joy and a place to make a difference in people's lives. And so the disciples, they go off to shop, and Jesus is staying at this well, and it's the hottest part of the day. And if you've ever been to Israel, it's nasty hot at the hottest part of the day. And the scripture says he's tired. He's tired like you're tired today. He's feeling worn out like you're feeling worn out today. And he wants to go home and rest like you would love to go home and do nothing for a little bit. And yet in that moment, the Bible says that Jesus sees a woman coming who he knows God wants to draw in with his love. You and I need to see this passage, and we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. God, how am I viewing life between your house and my house? Do I see anything there? Do I walk in and in my attitude, in my agenda, how tired I am, what I need to do in life? Am I making room for the possibility that I don't have to wait years down the road to change a life or to do something that makes a difference, but it could be Monday at 10:23 a.m. as I'm in line at the grocery store that I should look up and see there's someone that you care about? I was at the YMCA on Friday. I always go on Friday. It's my day off. Some of the staff is here. That's why I'm pointing over that way. And Friday's my day off. So, man, Friday's just go time to play ball. Go have fun for a little bit, right? And so I'm rushing to get there because I want to get in the first game, because anybody who plays basketball knows you want to get there late and wait like five years for a game. So I'm trying to get there fast. And as I'm walking through the door of the YMCA, I see in the window one of my neighbors who I gave a Bible to for Valentine's Day on the stationary bike, working as hard as he can, and he's not going anyplace because he's on the stationary bike. He's just right there. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd really like to talk to him, but I really need to get down and play my basketball game because that's really the significant part of life. I'm starting to walk by him, and his wife steps out the door. Sean, how are you doing? Hey, how are you doing? And we talk for a minute. She says, thank you for those Bibles you gave us on Valentine's Day. That was really nice of you. Now, you know, they're a very religious family, but I don't know that they necessarily know the Lord. And so we gave them a Spanish Bible and a military Bible because it's both of kind of their family story. And she was like, yeah, thanks so much for doing that. I said, oh, you know, hey, we just, you know, we're praying for you. And I remember you shared that one prayer request about a family member, so we're praying for you. And all of a sudden, the husband comes on over. Hey, Sean, thanks for the Bibles. Oh, yeah, great. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to realize I need to make room in my idea of what this first few minutes of my day look like. And she goes to me, she goes, hey, and by the way, and thanks for the chocolate too. Amen. And she says, but I gave it up for Lent, but I want you to know the minute Lent is over, I'm eating the entire bag. That's what she told me. I was like, well, that's great. I ask how's she doing, how's she doing. And I know some things they've shared with me, and some things aren't any better. And I'm like, hey, I'll be praying for you about this. She's like, thanks. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing in the moment of my day and my agenda, God's saying, Sean, would you lift up your eyes because I have something more for you. See, I'm thinking, I can't wait. This is my chance to get a break. And Jesus is saying, Sean, this is my chance to break through if you would pay attention. Now, I know it's going to be a little bit, and I know the story's not going to, but God's doing something. So I get downstairs. You know, we have a nice conversation. I get downstairs, and we're warming up. And when you're over 40 years old and playing basketball, you really need to warm up, okay? Matter of fact, there's a fine line between warming up and being too tired to play the actual game. And I'm right on that line, all right? And I'm warming up. And some guy I haven't seen for a really long time comes up to me. He says, Sean, you know? So I'm thinking now, I think I'm here for more than basketball this reason. And as I'm saying hi to him, the Holy Spirit say, remember what he asked you to pray for his daughter in the hospital a few months ago. I remember, I was like, hey, how's your daughter? Big, long conversation happens next about what God's doing, about what's hard, what he's believing. Really cool. So we talk a little bit. We share a few things we're going to do. I get in the game. Praise the Lord. I win the first game. Hallelujah. So I get to play again. Play another game. Lose. Hate that. All right. Now I'm waiting. But pretty soon, I'm getting in the next game. We're about to get. I'm shooting around. One of my other friends, who I haven't seen in church in a while, is over there. And I'm like, hey, and, you know, talking. And he says to me, he says, hey, man, sorry we haven't been to church in a while. And, you know, I'm figuring out now why I'm here this morning. I'm like, yeah, it's all right, you know. And I ask him, because I remember him saying something about something someone was going through in his family. I said, yeah, how's it going? And he's like, nah, you know, not very good. It's a chronic illness issue, so it's very hard in the family. And he says, but, you know, I want you to know, we've been watching every week the podcast Sunday morning. We haven't been there, but we've been listening. I said, well, thanks. You know, I praise the Lord, and we talked for a few minutes. And the whole day changed for me because you and I have this inclination to think that it's only at God's house and in our house where God's doing work. But even a simple shopping trip for some bread because we're hungry can be a place that if we lift up our eyes, God could speak to us. Sarah and I go out to lunch after that, and we're sitting there, and we're talking about it. I'm kind of sharing some of what the Lord's saying. She says to me, you know, it's funny you say that. I was literally this morning, God was talking to me about when I go pick up Caleb at Acoff Elementary School, how I'm always like this on the phone, and I need to realize that there are people around me that maybe God needs to speak to me. But every time I go to pick up my kid at school, all I'm doing is this. And Jesus wants to say, like he says in John 4, look up. Look up and see what's around you. So we start talking about that, and I'm like, you know, you're right. So I get, Friday, I get the duty to go pick up Caleb, and I'm like, Lord, I'm looking up. So I walk in the doors, and I see someone from the PTA who asked me something like, I say, hey, by the way, da, da, da. Oh, yeah, could your church do that? Yeah, we could do that. Awesome. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, Lord, this is pretty good. Walk into parent pickup where you're waiting for your kid to show up. And here comes another person. Someone's like, and they know I'm a pastor, like, Pastor Sean, you need to pray for this. So we talk about there. And I run into, I had like four encounters in that time just because I did this. I stopped doing this, and I did this. And I looked up because between God's house and my house, God's passionate. God wants to do work that you and I can be part of. Now, if you're like most people, your issue is, well, I don't know how to talk to people. I heard a preacher say this. He said, look, no matter who you are, I can give you the best tip that's going to make it easy to talk to anybody. I know everybody's favorite topic. I know your favorite topic. Your favorite topic is you. So all I got to do to start a conversation is ask you how you're doing. Or talk about something that you care about. And so, you know, you and I, we may not be people who necessarily feel very comfortable about that, but what I want you to hear today is that Jesus does some things in this passage that make room in the middle of a shopping trip that you and I can do too, and it's not that hard. Actually, it's an amazing moment of lifting our eyes and accomplishing something that doesn't take a lifetime to do. It just takes a moment of stepping out in faith. So here it is. Jesus, how does he do this? The first thing he does is he brings a gift. Okay? He's in John 4:10, and it starts out like a transaction, like the transaction you do when you go down to the store to buy something. He wants a drink. She's the one who has the ability to give one. And then, as they're talking, he says these words. He says, if you knew the gift I have to offer you, you'd be asking me for something. You know, everything good in your life, I want you to think about this, everything good in your life has begun with a gift. Any way that love has grown in your life was the result of a gift. I don't know what the circumstances were around your birth, but in the end, someone chose to let you have life. That was a gift, regardless of how it started and how you feel like it started you back a little bit. Let me tell you what, you've got a gift this morning. Someone gave you the gift of life. If you know the Lord, we know that Ephesians 2:8 tells us it is by grace that you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. The reason why you're loving your family better, the reason why you're not trapped in pornography or addiction or things like that is because you were given a gift that you did not earn. And the reason why you're growing to be someone who's becoming a little bit more like Jesus and bringing peace, not dissension into places, the reason you're doing things a little better and maybe have conquered a few victories in your enemies in your life and have victory is because Jesus gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have a gift. Nothing in your life that grows in God's love happens without a gift. Now that may seem a little like, okay, that's a little simple. I want to encourage you to look at your life and say, where do I need to give a gift so love can grow again? Giving gifts, not bribes, not control, not manipulation, giving gifts of God's love create life. It changes things. So the easiest way to think about it is this. Wherever you are stuck in life, a gift of life needs to happen. Are you stuck in your marriage? And you feel like, you know what, we're just arguing, we're not doing too well anymore. You need to give the gift of listening instead of wanting to be heard. That's a gift you give. If you're in the midst of a family who's really stuck, and we've all got our families with our stuck places, right? And nobody's changing anymore, you need to give the gift of forgiveness. Because you can choose to say, well, when they change, I'm ready to change. You can use the logic that says, once they do something, I'll do something. And 20 years later, you can still be saying that. Or you can choose to give the gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness and say, let's start again. Things get unstuck when you give a gift. But when you withhold and when you wait for the gift, things stay the same. Give and it will be given to you. A person reaps what they sow. Every change you need in life starts by giving, not getting a gift. Give a gift and things will unstick. At work, everybody's attitudes are bad. Everybody's blaming everybody else. Nobody this, everybody that. You know what you do? You need to give the gift of something positive, maybe of going the extra mile, of not joining in and saying something that will actually encourage people that works a good place. You need to give a gift if you want that place to be better. Gifts are where it starts. Jesus, with this woman who has so many differences, so much prejudice between those two cultures, politics, history, land, all of it, and Jesus starts by saying, if you knew the gift I'm trying to give right now, we wouldn't be talking about what you're giving me anymore. We'd be talking about what I'm giving you. Give a gift. It's a simple thought that God can use. It's the way of the kingdom of God. Now, the next thing that I see that Jesus did is he offers hope. He brings a gift, and then he offers hope. Do you notice in this story how many times this woman is trying to get Jesus to argue with her? Do you notice that? Jesus refuses to argue. He's going to talk about hope. He's going to talk about what's better. He's not going to change her by dissecting what's wrong. He's going to make a difference by offering her what's right. He doesn't argue. He lifts up. She wants to talk about race. What's a Jew like you talking to a Samaritan like me? He won't go there. He says, you know what? All of us are thirsty. She wants to talk about reason. Well, I don't know how you're getting water out that. You don't have this. The well's this deep. Are you better than everything else we've tried to do? He doesn't go to reason. He says, you know what? All these answers are temporary, but there's one that never, never ends. She starts to talk about religion. That's a great one to get someone sidetracked from God, ironically. Well, who's right? Do we go here or there? Do we do it your way or their way? What's God? Jesus says, you know what? God is spirit, and all who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He very specifically mentions the salvation is through what? The redemption of who? The Messiah through the Jews. He doesn't deny. It's not all roads lead to God, but it's like, you know what? It's not about what church you're going to. It's about knowing Jesus. He refuses to get trapped in this argumentative state, and you and I need to remember that. Because what's really going on in this woman's life? Is it all these, is it race, religion, or reason that's really stopping her? No, it's the story about five broken marriages and nothing good right now. That's the real issue. You and I need to remember that hope is what changes people. I heard a speaker say it this way. He said, you might be able to go 60 days without food and 6 days without water and 6 minutes without air, but you can't go 6 seconds without hope. That's right. That is right. I want you to think about in your family right now, where's the hope in your marriage, in your family right now? Because the one thing you need more than that person to change, that thing to happen, that circumstances, you need hope. And hope comes from God himself. Hope doesn't come from our circumstances. Notice what 1 Peter 1 says. Praise be to God, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a what? When does it die? It doesn't. It's a living hope. It doesn't die. Jesus is the hope. After you tried your best, after what you thought was going to work, whether you tried this or that, or they did this or that, hope is found in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18, I love this verse. It says, you were redeemed from the empty, hopeless way of life, handed down to you from your fathers. You know, when I meet someone who says, yeah, you know what? I'd change, but this is what my dad did, and that's what their dad did, and that's what, you know, and everybody talks about it. I say, whoa, 1 Peter 1 says, you're redeemed from that way of life. Your life isn't based on what they handed you. Your life is based on what God's handing you right now. Isn't that good? I mean, someone should smile off of that. That's good news right there. That's it. That's all I'm getting. Okay, I'll move on. It's hope. Hope is a good thing. Romans 8, who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. More than anything else in your life, you need hope. I want you to hear this, people in tough marriage right now. Hope is what you need. You need to not fix everything else. You need to say, am I getting close enough to the God who gives me a living hope that no matter what kind of life I've been handed, there's something better that's coming? Am I close enough to him? Because if I have hope, we can get through this. Work, family, hope is what God calls us to. And then Jesus does this beautiful thing, and you've noticed it right in the middle of the passage. He listens with grace. He knows. He gets it. He knows why a woman is coming out in the middle of the day to the well. It's because she's not allowed in the mixed company. She's not allowed in the company of that city. She's got to come when nobody else comes to the well. He gets who she is, but he listens to her story with grace. He listens in a way that he's looking to be able to share hope with her. She said, you know, he sets her up. Hey, why don't you go call your husband? We'll talk about this a little bit more. Oh, man, he knows. And she's like, I've had five husbands. And, you know, she says, I don't have any, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, no, you're right. That's quite true what you said, because you've had five husbands and the person you're with and your husband right now. That's true. I mean, couldn't Jesus in that moment say all sorts of stuff? Couldn't he quote all sorts of Bible verses at her? Couldn't he demand repentance right at that moment? But what does Jesus do? Jesus listens and he gives the greatest gift of all. He says, I understand who you really are, and I still think you've got hope. Because let me tell you what, there are a lot of people who don't. I was thinking about what is it for us to be in the middle of relationships and people who are struggling with sin and act like Jesus did instead of act the way we typically act. Because here's how we typically act. It's probably best represented in this story I heard. I heard this story, just a joke, of these two hunters that go into the woods. And these hunters go in the woods, and as they're walking in the woods, the first guy all of a sudden like makes this like dying sound and collapses on the ground. Well, the second hunter is like, what? He picks out his cell phone and he calls 911. He calls up. He says, help, help, my friend. I'm not sure. He might be dead. He's collapsed on the ground. And the operator said, now calm down, sir. Calm down, sir. First thing we need to do is make sure that he's dead. He says, okay. He puts down the phone and all of a sudden the operator hears over the phone, bang, bang, two shots. He comes back. Okay, he's definitely dead now. What do I do? You know, some of us treat people in sin the same way. Hey, I think he's dead. Let me condemn them a lot more and make sure they're really dead. Let me just shoot them a few more times so they know how wrong they are. Does anybody really need that? You know, truth is really, really important. Absolutely. But do you notice how Jesus, in the middle of this conversation, he lets love prevail? Because someone needs to know the love of Jesus, he does what he does. He doesn't ignore the truth of her life, but he doesn't shoot her twice just to make sure she's dead either. He says, you know what? It's true what you said. I understand, and I'm still here talking with you. There's still hope. You and I need to be about the same things. But the truth is, we're not going to give grace if we don't do what? Live in grace. We've got to live in grace. You and I, every time we open up this word, and despite how we feel like we messed up, we read a scripture that says that God is for us and not against us, that God is faithful, that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Every time we read that, that's grace for us. And you're going to have a hard time giving anybody else grace if you're not receiving it yourself. So don't let this slip by you, because this is where you get it. This is where you remember that what God said is true regardless of how you feel. There's grace there. Now the other part of giving people grace and being willing to listen is this kind of insecurity that somehow I'm not, you know, I really need to make sure that I personally help this, you know, that I make everything happen so they become saved. I've got to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in one in this moment. I want you to hear something and I'm going to tell you this right up front. This is something that somebody in your family who's living a life of sin can use against you if they want to, okay? What I'm giving you could be misinterpreted or misapplied if you're not paying attention. But for you, I want you to hear this. People who are personally close to God and who are being obedient with grace, they're not perfect, but they're being obedient, and who are spending time being thankful, they're gracious people. They're gracious people. But people who are really far from God, whether they look religious or not, people who are really being disobedient in their own lives, and people who are more bitter about things than they are blessed about what God has in their life, they're not gracious at all in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? People who are personally close, obedient, and thankful to God are gracious people. They're people where Paul would say, I know in whom I have believed. I know he's able. Insecurities make us reach out in condemnation. Insecurities, fears, bitterness in our own life, feelings of insecurity about who that person is versus who we are. And now we're going to show them because God's on our side. And God, I'm the one doing right. You're not doing anything right. You shouldn't have what you have. I should be having what you have. But you know what? You need to get right with Jesus. The way you deal with another person's sin says more about what's going on in you than it is about what's going on in them. You hearing that? Give me a little nod. Give me a little something. Yeah, Pastor Sean, I'm hearing it. All right? The way you're handling somebody else's sin is saying more about what's going on in you than what's going on with them. Do we need truth? Do we need to confront? Do we need to say, hey, that's not right? That's a lie? Absolutely. But let me tell you what, the way you're handling it is saying more about your relationship with God than their relationship with God. Because people who are strong in the Lord are gracious people. Do they grieve? Absolutely. Do they sometimes say, I know you're not going to hear this, but you need to hear this? Absolutely. Do they refuse to say, we can't do that? But do they control? Do they manipulate? Do they dominate? Do they intimidate? Uh-uh. God doesn't do that. Before you came to Christ, you were in sin, and God didn't dominate, intimidate, or manipulate you. He just offered you a choice. Because God is what? Gracious. And you're supposed to be like the Father in heaven. Gracious people are people who have peace with the Lord. They're not perfect, but they're not working out of insecurities and bitterness. We need to be gracious people. And then finally, I love the story of the disciples coming back. The disciples come back, and they're like, what is going on? Like, hey, this was a shopping trip. What's the evangelism for? Why are you talking to her? And Jesus says what? He says, hey, man, I got some food you don't even know about. I mean, I'm glad you picked up a few things at Martin's. But what I really did, I'm full. Thank you. I'm good. Man, I came in wearied as I was from this journey. I just accomplished the will of the Lord. I made a difference in the day I was given. I'm good. I'm fine. You know, you and I need to remember that we're called to make a difference. And that does not take years and years to get ready for. It doesn't take. It just takes a person who says, today, whether here or somewhere, I can bring a gift. And although they're talking about everything wrong in life, I'm going to offer hope. I want you to think about that person that needs a little hope in their life. You don't need to shoot them twice. They already know what's wrong. Give them some hope. Listen to their story with some grace and make a difference. Man, that's why you're alive. You know, one day you're going to go to your funeral, but you won't be there. Or maybe you will. I don't know what your theology is. What are they going to talk about at that funeral? They're going to talk about how you did what? How you made a difference. Some of you right now, the way you feel about work is because how you feel about whether you're making a difference or not. Why do you care? Because God made you to care about that because he made you to make a difference. You are not taking up oxygen. God's got a reason for the days you have, and he even has a reason why you stop at Wawa. And he even has a reason why you go to school to pick things up. He's got a way, and he's saying, would you lift your eyes and see it? You exist to make a difference. But let me tell you this right now. Students, you really need to hear this. There's no such thing as making a difference if you're not going to be what? Different. How are you going to make a difference if you are not different? Here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask anybody, if you're in college or school below that, I'm going to ask you, raise your hand right now. All my students, raise your hand. Come on. If you are, if you're not, spirit fingers. There you go. All right. Students, elementary, all through college, students, keep your hands up. It's okay to be different. Can you hear that? Students, you know what? Matter of fact, you need to be different because you're not going to make a difference if you're not different. Okay, you put your hands up. What is, students, what's this world push on you more than anything else? I got to be like everybody else. Where do you get most of your insecurities and your wounds from? When you've been different, someone has mercilessly hammered that. What's that about? That is the very fact that God made you to be different. The enemy's trying to destroy it. He's trying to destroy that you're called, always according to the word. We're not talking about being different in sin. We're talking about being different in how he made you. To follow his word. But did you realize you're supposed to be different? Because there is no such thing as making a difference if you are not different. Does not exist. And I want to encourage you, whoever you are. Now, that's not just students, right? I remember the first time the Lord put on my heart to go to Board of Supervisors and do a prayer to open up. Man, I had no clue what was going on. You know, everybody's getting in that room. Everybody's saying hi to each other and talking to everybody. And I realize as I'm getting ready up, I don't know the formal address of how you begin to make a formal address to the Board of Supervisors. I'm like, I feel different. And you know what God does with that, though? I walk out of that room, and actually there's a lot of great things that happen. Someone down the road, like months later, says, hey, by the way, I'm assistant to this. Keep doing that, because you don't know what kind of difference that made. Because I was the only difference. I was joking with a few guys. I usually feel pretty comfortable in a lot of different situations. A lot of that is because of basketball, so I get to enjoy a lot of different people. But I had an interesting moment on Friday. We finished up school, picked up Caleb, and it was my job to go take him to the barbershop to get his hair cut. And I love the fro, but Mom does not love the fro. Mom wants a tight cut. So we go to Jazz Barbershop up here on outside Walmart. And like I said, I'm usually pretty comfortable in a lot of different settings, but I didn't know anybody there. So I felt a little out of place. And so we're waiting to get our, it's packed. And it's a lot of fun things going on. And I go over to the guy who cuts the hair. And in most circles, you know, like I said, I'm pretty comfortable, but I wasn't sure, you know, in the end, I was the only white guy in the whole place, and usually I don't care about that, but it was just, I just didn't know these people at all. And so, in my head, I'm going, as I come up to this guy, are we shaking hands like this? Are we shaking hands like this? Because every place I go, I shake hands like this. But I'm the white guy, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's going to be like, oh, hello, sir, you know, kind of thing. So, it's silly, right? We've all had a situation one way or the other. We're just not sure what people are expecting of us. And so I go over and I walk up to him and I get the regular handshake. I'm like, oh, so lame. Yeah, you know? we shake hands for a second. But I sit over there. I start to talk to him as Caleb's getting his hair cut. And then we're having this great conversation by the end. And we finish up and I pay and he comes out and he goes, yeah, I get one of these. Bop. You know, like, all right, that was better. I walk out of there like, yes. I got a little more comfortable. But it's interesting because guess where I'm taking my bucket of love? We're going right back there. Because maybe it's just a little different to begin with. Not that we're really different on the inside, but just maybe it felt a little different to begin with because there's a difference to make. And I want to encourage you this week to do something maybe you've never, ever done. When you feel insecure about being different this week, I want you to see if you can remind yourself that maybe I feel different because I'm supposed to make a difference. And maybe instead of it being a bad thing, maybe it's a glorious thing. Maybe it's something that can change the world without me waiting 5 years to do. That's how good God is. So that's what we're doing here. We want to be people when we're going to the mall, when we're going to shop, we're stopping for gas. These would be people who say, you know what? I want you to think about this. How would life be different if tomorrow you went through everything you did saying, I wonder what gift I could give someone today? How different would that day be? I want you to focus on bringing a gift, even though you need gifts, even though you need stuff, even though you're weird, even though you're tired, even though you're busy. Could you go tomorrow and say, I'm going to live today kind of wondering what the Spirit of God wants me to do for somebody else today? I'm just going to see if I can give a gift. I'm going to offer hope. Everybody's got opinions about everything that's wrong. We live in an election season where everything's about what's everything wrong. How about someone giving some hope? And listen with grace. No bang, bang. Oh, yeah, you're definitely dead now. I told you how dead you really were. Is that going to change anything? And live to make a difference. You were born. You were born to make a difference. And that's not like 10 years from now. That's like this week. You're supposed to make a difference. You can do it. So what we're doing with the bucket of love, and last year was grace baskets, but guys need buckets, right? We need buckets as guys. So we're doing buckets of love this year. And I'm going to ask in a few minutes, we need at least 60 of you to grab a bucket. Say, hey, I'll take it someplace, and I'll fill it up with lots of sugar, caffeine, and I'll just go to that place like I can go to Jazz Barbershop and just say, hey, man, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for letting Caleb be part of the crew over there. And, hey, we just to bless you guys. There's some stuff about our church you need to say. We just want to remind you God loves you. Have a great day. And just begin to be different for a difference. So, before we do that, let's make sure it's working in our own hearts. Are you here today? Do you really know the gift of eternal life, or do you know religion and church? Have you said yes to what Jesus offers you? I mean, is that real in your life, or is it just a thought? Because you're not going to give a gift to anybody else if there's no gift in your own life, and it starts from Him, the gift of a new beginning, of a right heart, of peace with God, of hope. How are you doing? Maybe you know Jesus today. How's your hope? It's not too hard to get drowned out, man. You can be hopeful on Sunday and you can be done by Friday. Not that hard to do. Does the God who always gives a living hope, is He alive and well in you, giving you hope about where you're at in life? So why don't we stand? Let's pray about it and then let's finish up. Would you do me a favor and let's take this moment in prayer, if you would. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart here, that they would know not just religion, but they would know the gift of salvation, of new beginnings, of forgiveness, of a God who loves them and is always with them. They never have to be alone again. Lord, speak right now to people's hearts, if there's anyone in here who doesn't really know you. And Lord, even if there's a circumstance right now that's causing them a lot of pain and it's almost making them think you're not there, maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe you're not causing that situation, but maybe in the middle you're saying, hey, what everybody needs is me and it starts with you. You first. Give your life to me. Lord, I pray that you would do that now. I'm going to ask as your heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you need to make that decision to accept Jesus into your own life and accept that gift of forgiveness and new beginnings. If you're here, I'm just going to ask you to raise your head to me, look at me, and just raise your hand. Say, Pastor Sean, that's my decision today. I want to accept the gift of eternal life. I want to accept Jesus in my heart. Is anyone here who needs to make that decision today? Amen. Anybody else? It's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this young man who's made that decision today. I ask that even now as he makes this decision that you'd be close to those people who are part of his friends and his family, that, Lord, he would not just say yes to you today, but, Lord, he'd find grace and encouragement with the people that are around him. Be with them today, dear God. Lord, we ask you to forgive our sins, and Lord, we accept what you did on the cross. It paid the price for the things we've done wrong. Thank you for a new beginning. Lord, we know it just doesn't all happen, but Lord, you've begun. We just invite you into our heart and our life. Be our Lord. Be our hope. As you made that decision, I'm going to encourage you to see that person next to you, just to let them be with you and those around you that saw that decision. I'm going to ask for the rest of you this morning, how's hope doing in your life? How's the God of hope? Is he really filling your life, not with just circumstances, what employers are saying, bills are saying, but what is he saying in your life today? And I'm just going to invite you to take a moment. You don't need to raise a hand. You just need to say yes to him today. Lord, I pray right now that you would speak hope to every heart that needs it. You are not done. You are not finished, and you do not fail. So Lord, like we sang before, we give ourselves to you. We trust you. God, show us what to do next. Help us to have an open heart. Help us not to have attitudes or fears that when you say something, we just disobey because we don't want to hear that. But Lord, truly give us a humble heart. And Father, we know that there's a harvest field between your house and our house. 37,000 people don't go to church any place, 5 miles away from this church. Help us, Lord, to be part of letting somebody know you. I'm going to ask that you would speak to the Lord about a place you could give a bucket, a place that you could kind of be that person who brings a gift. And what I'd like you to do now, we just have a few more minutes and then we'll close. But I'm going to ask you if you would take a bucket, and we need at least, I think, 40 or 50 to take a bucket, so we make sure. I'm going to ask you right now, if you're willing to take a bucket, you don't need to have your eyes closed for this. Would you raise a hand? Say, hey, I'll take a bucket. We need a bunch of you. I want to encourage you, the person who doesn't think about your work, think about your work. The ushers are going to come down the sides here, and we're going to give some buckets out. And just keep your hands up until someone gets you that bucket. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to, what we're asking you to do is when you finish, we're asking you to go out to the foyer, take a few minutes, and tell if you know the place you're going to be giving your bucket at. Let them know if you need a place. They've got a list of businesses around here that you can give, but you can give it wherever you want, wherever the Lord lays it on your heart. So it's going to take us a few minutes to get all the buckets out to you, but this is going to be great. And we want you to see that when you get it, we want you to just fill it with some goodies. Write a note just why you did it, or just say something about, hey, just our church is praying for you. If you can give it out near those times, that's great. It could be different if you need to. And if you can put a Facebook pic on you about to give your bucket out, man, that'd be fun. It just encouraged the rest of us. So, oh, great. So, actually, our goal was 125. First service did 137 buckets, and we just did 50 more. Are we out of buckets? We're officially out of buckets. So, yeah, that's awesome. So, guess what? It's not a secret magical bucket. You could actually go out and get your own bucket. It's not like a special Bible brand bucket. So if you would, man, sign up still. They'll give you a packet, and we would love for you, man. Make your own bucket, and man, bless somebody. Bring a gift to make room. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the hope and the goodness of today, and we pray now that you would help us to make a difference in how we live this week. Help us in our shopping, in going to school, in the places we do business, in the way we live at work. We pray that you would use us to make a difference. Help us to bring the gift, to offer hope, to listen with grace. We pray all these things, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you as you go. Make a difference this week.